Take your Bible tonight, if you will, turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. So let's get right into the message tonight. And John chapter 14, stand with me as we read together. I'll read, you follow along, verse 15. The Bible said, Jesus speaking, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Talked about that in our teacher's meeting tonight. That he may abide with you forever. Aren't you glad the Holy Ghost is in you forever? Amen. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Shall be a key phrase there. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Let yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father. Watch it now, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that, what's that next word? Loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, this is another Jew, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my saying, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. God the Father, of course, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost working together to make sure you get what they want you to get so you'll be what they want you to be. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. You hear Hannity use that a lot, amen. He don't know what it means on Fox News, but let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I've said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh. By the way, he is among us, even in this service tonight. And hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do, arise and let us go hence. I have preached from this portion of Scripture many, many times, and I want to close tonight on it. A lot of things have been said this week. Some for you, maybe not some for you, but this is for all of us here tonight. I want to preach on loving what Jesus loves. Loving what Jesus loves. Father in heaven, help me tonight to be a blessing to your people, to this pastor and his people. And Father, Lord, to be pleasing to you. And Lord, I need you. I need your presence. I need your power. I need you to work in the hearts and lives of the people that call you Lord, that have been saved, born again. And thank you for the brand new converts this week. And Lord, I hope they'll grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And they'll continue serving you. So, Father, tonight, write some things indelibly upon our heart, in our ears, and in our mind, as from this day forward we try to serve you with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind until you come for us. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake only we ask it all. Amen and amen. You may be seated. When I look at John chapter 14 and I read down through the verses, so many of them to read, I recognize that the word love and loveth comes up quite a bit. The word love, loveth, or love are used 310 times in our King James Bible. Other words that relate to the love of God are also used. I believe that this subject, this doctrine, if you will, should be in your heart, my heart, and my mind daily, every day of our life, constantly, if you will. It should manifest itself in me and through me perpetually. And what I mean by that, in a way that never ends or changes, but stays constant, if you will, until he comes for me. John himself uses this word love 8 times just in this chapter that we just read from alone. John was that closest disciple to the Lord, the one that leaned on his breast at the Lord's Supper. In fact, the word love appears 57 times in the Gospel of John itself. It appears 46 more times in 1 John, in 2 John 3 times, and in 3 John 1 time. And why the reason I give you that information is I believe this truth is important to our Lord, and it's important to you and I here tonight. When you and I were born again, we were indwelt with the supernatural love of God. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I didn't know how to love. God sent me my wife Elizabeth to teach me what love was all about. And I'm not talking about the physical aspect of love. I'm talking about what real love, loving people in spite of them. Are y'all with me? Giving people an opportunity and a chance. And I didn't get a lot of that in my early childhood, if you will, growing up. But God sent her to me. But then when God saved me, He gave me a different kind of love. He gave me what I call a supernatural love. Love that did not come by itself. Love that I couldn't muster up on my own. It was love that came from within, from God Himself. That love has been trying to work its way outward in me since that day I got saved. The Bible said, but God commended this love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, listen now, still lost, Christ died for us. You know what I say about that? I can't believe that. I cannot believe God would love you and I in that matter, but He did. I like what Romans 5:5 declares. It declares this truth. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God, hear me now, is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. What are you saying? God's love's in here. It's in our bosom. It's in our heart, or it should be. Your heart. And you know what it's looking to do? It's looking to get out. It's looking to get out toward others. It's looking to get out towards souls, if you will, that are dying and going to hell without Christ. That love is looking to get out in your family. Not only your immediate family, but your extended family. We all have people that are not in church. People that are not saved. People that have been saved in church, out of church. And we need to learn how to love them in spite of them. God loves you in spite of you. Even this day, now that you're here and you're born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, waiting on home in heaven, trying to serve God faithfully, even when you mess up, God loves you even in this day. When I think about that, I think about how we are given that supernatural love to love our husband, love our wife in our marriage, and that helps to strengthen that marriage. You and I are what I call conduits. Conduits of the love of God, the love of Christ. Hear me now, through the leadership of the Holy Ghost of God. You're to be a channel for conveying God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace to each other and to others around the world. So maybe what we need to find out is, what is it that Jesus loved? Well, I got into that several years ago, and again, I got several messages on it. You cannot get it in one message. You can't even put it all, if you will, into several messages. But I want to look at some things with you and give them to you in closing the meeting out. Maybe it'll strengthen some things in your life from this night forward. Look at John 13, if you will. John chapter 13. How many of you got your Bible? Say amen. John 13, look at verse 34. Listen to what the Lord said. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. My, as I have loved you. Now listen, that you also love one another. By this, by what? By this love for each other, for other. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one toward another. Now listen to me, look up here. Not only do we need that toward others and each other, but we need that in our church today. We need to get along, ladies and gentlemen. Even in a small church, large church, it doesn't matter. We're human beings. We are made up of flesh. But if you're saved and born again, in you is that supernatural love of God that He placed there trying to get out and love like Jesus loves. And you and I here tonight need to take that seriously in our life. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful truth that He would love me in spite of me. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Turn there with me. Book of Ephesians. Chapter number 4. Great, great chapter. A lot of things to be said here. We can't say them all, but just a few things along the way. Ephesians chapter number 4. Look at verse 14. It says here that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. And watch now, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craft, whereby they lie in wait to see. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is ahead, even Christ. For from the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body, the body of Christ, unto the edifying of itself in love. Wow. Look at verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. That's your old way of living. That's your old way of thinking. Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be, verse 23, be renewed in spirit and mind. That you put on the new man. That means when you get born again, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Verse 25, wherefore putting away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You ought to swallow that tonight. Look at this. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Because if you do that, it says, neither give place to the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I, hear me now. When we're talking about this love of God, if we don't love like God, hear me, we're going to love like man. We're going to live like man. The devil's going to come in, and he's going to influence us. And it says here, do not give place to the devil. Don't give him any opening. Don't give him any reason to come upon your life. Look at verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to them that needeth. Let no corrupt communication, church. Church members, listen. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, not tearing down, but edifying, building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Preacher, you talked about that tonight. Whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Watch it now. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's the love that God wants you and I to get out, that's stored up in here, supernatural love, to get out that we might love others in spite of who they are. Aren't you glad God loves you that way? Because most of them would be dead if he didn't. Look at Galatians. Go back. Galatians. Stay with me. A lot of scripture. That's all right. I don't know anything better. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, these are my verses, my life verses. If a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear you one of those burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Look up here. Look up here. We're nobody's, hear me, we're not the Holy Ghost, we're not God the Father, we're not God the Son. We're God's children. And we are to bear one another's burden, which means that you've got to love each other, you got to forgive each other, you got to help each other. You got to edify each other. Build up each other. Not tear down. I've been around this thing long enough. There's too much parking lot talk. Amen. Yeah, too much foyer talk. Lobby talk. Too much bathroom talk. By the way, ladies do more talking in the bathroom than they do anywhere. So be careful with that bathroom talk. Amen. Us men, I'm not going to go there. Anyways, but we can all agree that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost desires that we love one another and that we love others. Amen. But we must add to ourselves and to that list. And let me explain. Look at John 17. Go back. We're hurrying, but I want you to get it. John 17. And look at here, this gets strong now, watch it. I hope you're able to swallow it. John 17, look down at verse 21, not read the whole chapter, but it's good. Go home and read it. John chapter 17, verse 21, we'll start there. The Bible said that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they, speaking of you and I, are born again, also may be one in them, in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Boy, I don't know about you, but that just grabs me every time I read it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost are one. But He's included us now. You and I are one in Christ Jesus. Gets better. Verse 23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved them. Is that not powerful to you? That's powerful to me. Look down, if you will, at verse 26. And I have declared unto them, you and I, thy name, and will declare it, that the love whereby, watch it now, wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Whew. Do you realize what Jesus is talking about? He talked to his Father, said, I want the love that you've given me to give to them, to be in them, to be in you. So the next time soul winning comes up, don't even think about it. Just be there to so you might go out and show His love to others out there. When there's a problem in the church, learn how to pray. Amen. Not P-R-E-Y, like I said earlier this week, but pray, P-R-A-Y. Amen. Pray for one another. Help one another. Because that's what the Lord Jesus has commanded that we do. And my Bible says if we love Him, we are to keep His, help me, commandments. Let me give you a few thoughts on top of all this, and I'll hurry. Number one, loving what Jesus loved. Can I tell you tonight, Jesus loved His Father. He loved the Heavenly Father. He did everything the Father told Him to do. He never rebelled against the Father. He never, listen, John 8, 29, go to, you're there in John, go back to chapter 8, look at this. Says in John 8:29, He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. Is everybody there? I want you there. John 8, verse 29. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. Watch it. Jesus said, For I do always. Now underline that, those things that please Him. By the way, if you read all the Bible and the New Testament, you'll find out you're to do what Jesus does. You're to obey. And so the thing here is that we realize that Jesus loved His Father, His Heavenly Father. He said, I do always those things that please Him. Where are you tonight with that truth? Are we doing always those things that please the Father? If not, there will be no revival in ourselves or our church or our home or our land until we learn how to love the Father as Jesus loved His Father. And the outcome of that was obedience to the Father and everything. You remember what Jesus said in James 4:17? Or what James said, I should say, in James 4:17? Here it is. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. We already know that we're to love each other. We know we're to love God with all of our heart, strength, soul, and mind. Everything. Our very being. I'm talking about inside out. We're to love God in that manner and obey Him in so doing. Remember we said that sin hinders and ultimately it hides the outpouring of the love of God to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Ghost, and to others. Sin will take that away from you. The sin of the flesh will take that away. Jesus kept all the commandments of the Father, even to that agonizing night there in the Garden of Gethsemane prior to Calvary when He said these words, and I quote, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup, what? The cup of suffering. Let this cup pass from me. But He didn't stop there. There's a colon. He said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Think about that. While He was just ready to go to Calvary, actually to be arrested and beaten and tortured and His beard plucked out and His back ravaged and hanging skin and blood and all those things and then take Him and nail Him to a cross. By the way, God let Him go there. Did God not love Him? No, He loved Him. But Jesus loved Him back knowing that that was the will of the Father and He went in your place and mine. He went to Calvary and let them nail Him to that old rugged cross. so that you and I can have what we had this week, so you can have a man of God that teaches you the Word of God, so you can have one another, so you can have the opportunity to serve God by going out and taking that love to others that are outside your church. He loved the Father from the cradle. You've heard this. Through his childhood, to the cup in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then to the cross. Just for you. If you'd have been the only one. By the way, on the cross that day, on either side, were two thieves. Everybody remember that? One of them got saved, one of them didn't. Hello? But Jesus was there for both of them. Amen. He loved them. I mean, they deserved death. They should have died. But he was up there, and the same day that Jesus was crucified, both of them were crucified, but one of them got to go to paradise after the resurrection. Amen. You know what he's asking us to do tonight? Is to take that supernatural love that he loved his Father with and loved you and I with, and we're to love others as he loved us. Question here, simple question. How much do we really love the Father? Now, hang on just a minute. I ask this question all the time. If you love God, would you please raise your hand? Don't raise it. 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 It's not a matter of a raised hand. It's a matter of a full heart. A lot of people raise their hand when I ask that question. They don't love God. They have no idea what it is to love God. And we're just partially through the message right now, and you've heard some strong scriptures and strong demands and commands of the Lord. And if we love God, if we love the Lord, we'll keep all His commandments, by the way. So be careful when you raise your hand. Maybe what we need to do tonight is just like our Lord did to His Heavenly Father. Not as I will, but as Thou wilt. Not my will be done, but thine in me and through me be done from this night forward. Maybe we need to read again and then heed what we read. Look at Luke's Gospel chapter 10. Hurry, you're holding me up again. My flight's going to go off at... What time does it go off? 6 in the morning, isn't it? 5 in the morning. I'm glad you told me that. I'd have been left behind. Luke chapter 10. No, I'm with her. She takes care of me. Luke chapter 10, look down at verse 25. Y'all don't mind reading scripture, do you? Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up. Now we know we're in trouble. There's a lawyer involved. And tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? Remember, New Testament's just being written. What is written in the law? How readest thou? He answered and said, Deuteronomy 6, by the way, go back and read it. He answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. And, what's those next few words? Thy what? I can't hear you. Thy neighbor is thyself. Everybody knows right after that, I think we mentioned it earlier in the week, it's the Good Samaritan story. Remember that? Remember when the priest came by and didn't want anything to do with that man left half dead on the road? Remember when the Levite come by, didn't want anything to do? These are Christian people, not Christian, but churchy people. Come by, didn't want. But then the Good Samaritan, who the Jews had no dealings with, the Samaritan, we call him the Good Samaritan here. But when the Samaritan came by, who the Jews didn't have any dealings with, he stopped. I just believe he got saved somewhere before that. But he stopped and rendered aid to that half-dead man. He was doing what God's people are to be doing, and that's rendering aid to the fallen. Are you with me? I'm talking about your bus route. I get tired of hearing people, by the way, lately I hear it and my sons won't live with it, but I get tired of hearing people, bus work don't work, buses don't work anymore. They work as much as you work them. Yes, sir. Many of you just got back from Commonwealth and Brother Fugit work up there, and he's never not had a bus ministry. Huge bus ministry. Well, it's just kid. It's just kid. You were once a kid, I think, if I recall. I know some of us are older than dirt, but we were all kids. Come on. Those kids need, some of those kids we talked about this week, I'm going to close with it too. They need your love. They need somebody to reach out and say, we love you, even when their own mother or father won't tell them that. Jesus loved both these three. Listen to me. He loved them both the same. But only one of them received that love. By the way, while we are here at the cross, talking about the cross, think about who you love and how much you love them. Jesus loved the Father and kept all His commandments. Can I tell you, secondly, Jesus loved His foes. He loved those on the cross next to Him on either side. He loved those down below. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Take your Bible, go to, I want you to see this for yourself over in Acts chapter 7. We talked about this, gentlemen, earlier this week. Acts chapter 7, but I want you to see some powerful love here. I want you to look down at Acts chapter 7, look down at verse 54. The Bible said when they heard these things, what things? A strong message. They were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on Him with their teeth. But He, hey, listen to me now. You got to listen to me, Stephen. Stephen, he being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven, saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on. I don't know about you, but that just grabs me too. Jesus standing on the right hand of God for the man that was dying. And listen, just like he died. Watch. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Verse 57. They cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ear, ran upon Him with one accord, cast Him out of the city, and stoned Him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet that we talked about earlier this week, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen. Listen, this is what I want you to see. Calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. But I don't want you to miss this. He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Look up here. Stephen got what I'm talking about tonight. He got that supernatural love. He was able to look around him and see those in front of him that had just cast those stones, and he was falling beneath the load of those stones and the blood and the pain, and he was dying. And he said, God, lay not, right here, read it again, lay not this sin to their charge. Jesus has said it differently. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There's another story, and I have no time to go there. But understand this. Understand this. Jesus loved the Father, but Jesus loved His foes. You know, it's awful hard to love those that we don't like. Amen? Awful hard to love those who we'd consider foes or enemies, if you will. But Jesus did. And He commands us to do the same thing. Then Jesus, who said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. At that time that He did that, He was witnessing from the cross. Y'all remember a centurion that was down below? That centurion heard Jesus. He heard Him talking to the thief. He heard Him when He said His last word, when He committed His spirit into, and when He did, the centurion said, this has got to be, and I'd use my words here, but I like my word right here. It's got to be God. It's got to be God. And I believe that centurion got saved, ladies and gentlemen. But Jesus loved both of them foes equally. By the way, thinking about the cross and Jesus, who do you love? Is it better yet, who is it you don't love? There's some things I don't like. Amen? But I am taught, in fact, commanded to love others like Christ loved me, and so are you. He loved the Father. He loved the foe. Let me tell you, number three, Jesus loves forgiveness. I am so glad He loved forgiveness. He didn't have to forgive that thief on the cross. He didn't have to forgive you. He could have left you just in your sin, rolling around in this old dirty, nasty world, let you die and split hell wide open. But He loved forgiveness. It is throughout the entirety of the Bible you find where God is forgiven and forgiven and forgiven. Not only in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament as well. And we could go there and spend literally weeks talking about God's forgiveness for the men and women of God throughout all the centuries that we've had this Bible. He loved forgiveness. You know, if you're not able to forgive, then you have not the love that Jesus has. Let me just say it that way. You got to learn how to forgive. My brother called me yesterday. He's a drunk. He's an alcoholic. And he called me bawling. And he told me about the problem he's having with his wife and the family there. So I don't go into it in detail here. And if anybody had any reason not to love his family, you're looking at him. But you know what I did with him? I talked to him about the Lord. I prayed with him. And I said, Kenneth, it ain't going to get any better until you give your life to the Lord. Period. Period. He lost a wife to cancer, and that was a tough thing on him years ago. But get over it. Move on. Move on. And the thing about it, ladies and gentlemen, I can't quit loving him. I don't like what he's doing. I don't like that my younger brother is an alcoholic and a drug addict and got cirrhosis of the liver and dying right now. And even in the hospital tonight, they just put him in yesterday or the day before. And I'm not there. I don't like that. But I have to love them and try to help them and pray for them and answer their phone calls to the best of my ability. If I am not, listen to me, if I'm not able to forgive, then I don't have the love that God wants in me. He forgives me every time I call upon Him. Lord, a little short today. Not in my messages, you already know that. But Lord, just a little short. Haven't prayed as much as I should. Hadn't read my Bible like my wife reads it and tells me I don't. But Lord, Lord, listen. Lord, forgive me. You say, well, do you do that all the time? I don't do it all the time, but I believe if I did, He'd still forgive me. Do you realize that my sin is under the blood? Do you realize it's under the blood always? No new blood has to be shed. Are y'all with me? Amen. So when I confess my sin and He is faithful, just forgive me my sin and cleanse me from all righteousness, read a little bit farther, you'll find out it's the same blood that cleanses from sin and it cleanses from sins. Doesn't give you a liberty to go out and sin and then forgive, go out and sin and seek forgiveness. No, it doesn't. But listen to me. He forgives sinners. And He's still forgiving even in this hour. And will, hear me, and will until the rapture takes place. You know, some of the church that Jesus loves, as I said earlier, can't seem to get along together. This ought to be one thing that we kind of center in on before we leave here tonight. I don't know your heart tonight, but Jesus does. Question, is there any animosity between each other? Is there any strong hostility toward a brother or sister or towards your own pastor, pastor's wife, ministry? Get it taken care of. Even tonight, find the one that you have aught with and make it right and seek for their forgiveness. Ask for it. Hear me. Because when you do that, God's going to forgive you. We can't be right with Christ if we're not right with our brother. That's what the Bible teaches. And you and I have got to learn to love through forgiveness just like Jesus learned and Jesus taught us. Which leads me to this. It's going to kind of mess you up here a little bit. Lastly, Jesus loves His family. He loves His family. I finished with that after saying what I did just right before that for this reason. Do you love your church? Do you love His church? It's worth protecting. Let me say this. I may never get to come back, but I want to say this tonight before I close out. There's not only no room for animosity in the church, there's no room for backbiting. There's no room for gossip. There's no room for disagreement unless it's here. And I don't know that you're ever going to find much you can disagree with this man. In the Bible. But you know what? You want revival? You could have had it without me. If everybody in the church will just get together, strongly get together and love one another and forgive one another and lay it under the blood and move forward, you'd be shocked at what God will do at Gospel Light Baptist Church. Not that He's not doing already, but boy, the things He wants to do. So if there's any animosity, strong hostility toward a brother or sister in Christ, get it taken care of tonight in this last meeting. You know, when I think about that, I'd even change color of paper real quick. I love my church. I did this so I could read it. And I could see it. Amen. Here's the reason I love my church, preacher, because it's the institution Christ paid for with His own blood. Acts 20:28. I love Christ Church. I love my church back home. It's a church my wife and I were married in. It's a church, listen, that my wife and I were saved in. It's a church all my sons and my daughter-in-laws were saved in. It's the church that all of my grandchildren were saved in. It's the church where God called my wife and I into the ministry. Now, 40 years later, we're still in it. It's a church that all three of my sons were called into full-time Christian service, and now two pastor, one's associate pastor. He's called five of my grandchildren so far. He saved every one of my grandchildren. It's the church where they were saved. It's a church where we hear the preaching and teaching of God's Word week in and week out. Don't miss a service. Well, we've been going so long, you know, it doesn't hurt to miss. It does hurt to miss. Schedule a vacation. By the way, look up here. When you schedule a vacation, make sure wherever you're going, it's got a church somewhere. Amen. Of like faith. Amen. And if it doesn't, you have to slip into a Southern Baptist, carry the right Bible with you. Okay? Because you're going to get lost in some of the reading there. Don't ever go on vacation without God. What's wrong with you? Amen. I love my pick-em-up truck better than that. I don't want my truck messed up. I don't serve God when I'm on vacation. He'd love to take everything. He'd love to take it all away from me. That's good. That's good teaching, preacher. It's a church where we hear the preaching teaching God's Word week in, week out. It's a church where God allows me to be a part with my tithes and offerings. Isn't that good? Yeah, I knew you'd get the money sooner or later this week. Absolutely. Give, and it shall be given unto you. You heard that over there. But I like that over there in the Old Testament. Amen. The Bible says when we tithe, look out now, look out. Y'all believe your Bible? He opens up the windows of heaven. In Texas, it's the windows of heaven, but it's the windows of heaven. And the Bible said it pour you out a blessing that you'll not have room enough to receive it all. And that's a good part, but the best part is he rebukes the adversary for your sake. Anybody know who that is? That's the devil. Ask Peter, he knows. He even wrote about him. But hang on, if God never gave me a dime back, but kept the devil off my back, out of my family, off my wife, off my children, off my grandchildren, it's worth every penny of the tithe that I've ever given. Amen. I'm not going to stop. I'm not stupid. Besides that, I love God, and I love His Word, and I'm going to do what He says. It's a church where we hear the preaching and teaching, as I said. And about that, Faith Promise. I love Faith Promise missions. You know why? Because it's money that God didn't demand, but God says, you know what? I've blessed you. All I've asked you for is 10%. Somewhere along the way, you can probably five or 10% more and give that to missions. And that's that give, you know, when you give and He gives it back to you, pressed down, shaking together, running over. Pooh, that's a pretty good return, amen? You can't get that from your bank. But you can get that from God. Get in on missions. You heard him read some thank yous today. We used to get them all the time. We supported missions strong. Last church I was in, we supported 110 missionaries, I think, when I left. And every one of them were at least $50. Most of them were a lot more than that. He said, where'd it come from? People of God. And I'd hear testimony. We'd have testimony service. You know, preacher, you can't outgive God. I hear it over and over and over and over. And the thing was that they'd given their tithe and offering like God. That belongs to God. The tree in the garden belonged to God. You see what happened there when they took it, amen? That didn't belong to them. They wanted him to touch the thing. So if God got mad at them touching an apple tree or whatever kind of tree you want to call it, you think he's going to get mad if you touch his money? Why, sure he will. You say, well, you say he's a forgiving God. Well, all right, ask God to forgive you and start tithing. Amen. By the way, it's a church where one of your family members or friends or neighbors can still be saved to this day. It's a church today that is still the greatest institution on planet Earth. Thank God it's not the White House. I'm done. Do we love what Jesus loves? Do we love the Father? Question, are we keeping all His commandments? Do we love others as Jesus loved, despite who they are? Lost sinners, even saved sinners that have messed up, do we love them? each other. By the way, regardless of race, ethnicity, or country, do you understand those coming over here legal still need Jesus? We tend to forget that. Well, stop them. I'm for stopping. I'm for having borders. I'm for coming in the legal way. But if they're here, they need Jesus. Amen. Don't you shut them out. Do we love our enemies as Jesus loved His? Do we love forgiveness as Jesus loved forgiveness and still does? Do we love His church that He gave and purchased with His own blood? And then again, do we love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind? Every bit of our being, every fiber of our being, do we love Him? Well, ladies and gentlemen, as I leave you this week and go back to the state of Texas, we need to learn. And lastly, we need to learn to love this book. Amen. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation. Listen, all the way through the end of the Bible, every word. Amen. And you have a man. I'm tired of building him up, amen. But you have a man, I promise you, sitting under him, if you don't learn, you don't want to learn. If you don't grow, you don't want to grow. So you get under him, and by the way, don't be the Christians I've had in the past where they're so afraid to ask because you'll think that we're ignorant. No, we won't. We'll just tell you and teach you, and then if you forget it, we'll think you're ignorant. No, I'm just kidding. What I'm saying is don't ever sit back and not ask for help when it comes to learning the book of God. Amen. And I promise you, you'll grow and God will use you and you'll look back in a month, two, or a year from now thinking, is it not amazing what God's done in our lives? Amen. In our marriages? With our kids, with our been praying for my son for a long time, and look what God's done. You'll look at those things and know that because you were obedient and you loved as God has told you to love. You'll look back and think, "Wow, this thing works. This thing works." Question right here: do you really love God? Do you? Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking about. I want everybody standing. Everybody standing, please. Musicians are coming. As soon as the musician gets here, after my prayer, he can begin to play. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for letting us be here this week. It's been a joy. Lord, I do and my wife do. Every time we come, we feel like we're at home, around home people. And we are because we're all saved. We're all children of God. We're all going to the same place. But Lord, until we get there, help us, Lord. Help us to live like you live. Help us to love like you love. Help us to care like you care. Help us to be obedient. Help that supernatural love in us get out to others, in our family, on the job, at school, at play, in the malls, in the stores, in our neighborhoods. And you get all the honor and glory. Lord, every hand went up pretty much as I played with that a little earlier. They just pretty much immediately stuck their hands up and was going to say, I love God. But do we really love you with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind? Father, there may be some here tonight that haven't repented of some sin they need to repent of. And you love forgiveness. Help them to seek that forgiveness tonight. Help them to move on in their Christian life and grow and not ever go back to that sin again. Lord, please have your will and way. There's some here tonight that may still need to be saved. They may not be saved. If they walked out of here tonight and died, they'd go to hell. Help them to be sure before they leave. And then, Lord, that these that you did save this week that are going to follow you in believers' baptism soon, oh God, please protect them. But help them know that the devil is going to follow them everywhere they go, especially now that they have committed their lives to you. Give them strength that they don't even know they have. Help them to reject the flesh, reject others who might want to tease them and bother them about the decisions they've made. Help them to be great Christians. Help these that are struggling about a call of God on their life Lord, make it clear and precise in their heart and life, because nobody can answer that call but the ones you're calling. And then, Lord, protect this church inside and out. Protect this preacher, his wife, and family. Watch over them. Hover over them. Continue to bless Gospel Light Baptist Church. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking about, I wonder how many are here tonight again, one more time. You say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. If I died right now, I know I'm going to heaven." If you know that, slip your hand up as a testimony to that, "Preacher, I am saved." All right, put them down. Everybody put your hands down. I don't know that I saw any hand that wasn't raised, but if you're here tonight, you couldn't raise your hand. Nobody's going to call your name, won't point you out. But let me know how to intelligently pray. You say, "Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand," or, "I raised it, but I'm still not sure that I'm saved. Would you pray for me?" I will. I will. Would you do me a favor right where you're standing or right where you're seated? Would you just slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, I really don't know I'm saved. Pray for me." I'll not embarrass you, not at all. I just want to know how to pray. Anybody like that? Last question. Has God spoken to your heart tonight? Or maybe this week? If He has, just as soon as this piano player begins, just as soon as the invitation is started, you make your way to an old-fashioned altar. If for no other reason than to think about what we talked about tonight and make sure you're surrendered to that before you walk out here tonight. As He begins to play, you come, preacher.
Loving what God loves.